Amen. As Brother Mike said, it's good to be here. It's good to be seen. Good to be able to see people. Amen. So if you would, let's start off in Proverbs. I've got a couple verses here I want us to look at, and then we'll be jumping over. We'll be going to 2 Timothy. You know, we often talk a lot about, so the last Sunday was about Friends Day, and Brother John just sang a song this morning about a friend. Well, it just so happens that I'm going to share with you a young man. I say a young man, I don't know how old he is. There ain't much said about this guy in the Bible, very few verses. But you know, oftentimes we study on Paul and we look at his life and there's so much there. But sometimes we can miss little things. I remember hearing a message from the book of Judges about a man named Shamgar. There's only one verse, and there ain't much there. But this preacher preached a message one night on that, and I'm like, how in the world did he get all that out of that one verse? But just have to get in there and study. Proverbs 18, I'm sorry I didn't tell you where to go. I got you close in the vicinity there, but... we're going to talk about a friend, all right? And as I know we're hearing a lot about the campaign and things that are going on, and I know we do this all the time. We go out and we share the gospel. We want to share it with those, and we want them to see that Jesus can be our friend. But here's a key verse in chapter 18. Verse 24, it says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." So for me to have friends, I've got to be a friendly type person. Nobody wants to be around a grumpy person that just is miserable and grumbles and gripes and complains all the time about everything that's going on. Them type of people, they most of the time get avoided, but if they do have friends, it's because misery loves company, all right? And we as Christians, we have something that the world don't have, and we should show it. We should live it. We should tell it. We should share it. The key is living it, because I can tell you anything that I want to tell you, but my life is what's going to be the testimony. I was just listening last night on the radio as I was walking by there, and I don't know if y'all listened, but Brother Quarles was he was teaching a little lesson last night, and there's a difference here in this thing here. He was talking about a profession. Well, a profession is what I say about myself, but a reputation is what someone else says about me. Amen. So what kind of reputation are we leaving when we go to these places? Let's go to another, Psalms 27 and 17. I think this will help us to get started in the direction that we are going to be going to look at this guy. I ran across him quite some time ago as I was preparing for a little cottage prayer meeting, and we would have a little devotion time, and it's just something that I ran into, and it really jumped out at me, but... Let's look at, preacher preached from this last week, Proverbs 27. It says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." So just as we take iron and we're using iron to sharpen iron, we, as Christians, we need to sharpen each other's countenance. What is our countenance? Well, it can be our face, it can be our body language, it can be our the way that we act. How do we do that? Well, if I come around you and all I want to talk about is grumble, griping, and complaining about everything that's going wrong in the world, that's not going to sharpen our countenance. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to sharpen our countenance. So what do? Well, we're going to talk Scripture, right? So we share Scripture with each other. All right, well, man, listen, this is, you know, I love to hear this when someone comes to you and says, "Man, let me share something with you that I got out of the Word of God this week." You know, I like that. Most of the time we come up and we're going to talk about who won the football game. I'm a basketball man.
I don't even watch it. I just be honest with you. Don't even watch it. Don't care to watch it. Love playing it. But my body don't love it the next 2 days. Very painful. And I look like I'm a very healthy man, but I'm just telling you, deep inside, it hurts. But I still love it. I endure the pain. Let's go to 2 Timothy, and we'll get on into what we're going to talk about here with this guy. Remember, we're talking about a friend here, and Paul is talking to Timothy. Paul is encouraging Timothy. Timothy's a young preacher, all right? And these young men that come to college here and other young men that have professed that the Lord has called them to preach, they need encouragement too. You know, they don't need to hear. They need the truth. Don't get me wrong. The ministry is not easy. Okay. The ministry to be in the pastor and the deacon's position is a lot of weight. The majority of us, we talked about this a little bit last night, but the majority of us, we come to church. This is what we see, and we go home, and we go to bed. Well, the pastors and the deacons, they don't do that, okay? They stay up late, and they're thinking about the situation that they just got sat down and talked to about. They're thinking about as the song... there's a song that comes on the radio that talks about the preacher and how he's up till midnight fighting battles for us. Thinking about that teenager. You know, we as adults, we have the know-how. We have the ability. But these kids don't. We should have enough wisdom about ourselves that we should study this Word of God. We should be a testimony to the kids. These kids, they're learning. They don't have the discipline that we have. You know, we talk about this. I remember when I was in the Army, I was in training. I struggled to stay awake in training class. Most of it was boring because I already knew everything. I mean, we went back to the basics of what a cross-tip screwdriver was. Most of us call it a Phillips head. And I'm in here going, oh. I'm 18 at this time. Been working on cars since I was like 13. So I knew what these tools were, but we're having to go back to the basics. I didn't understand it, but I got to go back to the basics for those that are new coming in. Well, I struggled with it, right? And I struggled to stay awake. And we may see that. We may see people that are struggling to stay awake. We don't know where they're at, but... So Paul here in 2 Timothy, he's trying to encourage Timothy. At this time, Paul is in prison. He's locked up. If you'll go down... Start in verse 15 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Think about this. Paul has went all over the place. Paul has went on 3 missionary journeys. He's went out. He's planted these churches. The letters that he's writing are letters he's writing back, trying to encourage the members, the congregation, the people that are there, the leadership, trying to help them. And through it all, he still has, if you was to go and read in Philemon, you'll see where Demas was a faithful man to him. But then when you get here at the end of 2 Timothy, Demas has forsaken him. He's left, right? We can start off, we start off the race good. But then somewhere along the line, we get discouraged and we fall away. Let's look here in verse 15. Look at what happened here. It says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes." Listen, I was told, if you don't know how to say the word, you speak it boldly. And everybody thinks that's just how you say it. Amen? I struggled to get through English class, I promise you. I was good in math, PE, and lunch. That was my subjects. I wasn't good in English, so just bear with me on these names. But we see there we have a couple of them there that has departed from him. They've already forsaken him. They because right now he's in bondage. He's locked up. We're going to get into that in here in just a minute, but let's look at this next verse here. It says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." I don't know how many of us has ran across that name and actually has stopped and looked at this, but to me, there was some things that jumped out at me. The first thing I see there is, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." So Paul is saying that he's asking the Lord to give mercy unto his house. Don't give him what he deserves. This man was obviously one. He's from Ephesus. He was obviously won by Paul on his trip to Ephesus. Now Paul is in Rome locked up. We're going to see some more interesting things about this that we can take from this guy here and apply to our daily walk and our daily life. But the Lord is asking for mercy. We can do this same thing for a friend of ours that may be away from us. We can ask for the Lord to give mercy unto their house. Pray for the household. The house there is not necessarily his structure, okay? It's not talking about that, but it's talking about his family. But think about mercy here. We can see mercy in a few places. Let me give you a few verses here. I got them marked. I'll just flip there and read Psalms. If you want to write these down, you can. Psalms 130, verses 3 and 4 says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The Lord is the one that gives mercy." Let me give you another one here. Psalms 18 and 25, it says, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright." So the way that we want to be treated, we should treat others. So obviously here, Onesimus has Onesiphorus. I'm thinking of Philemon. Onesimus is over there. That's another good lesson in a short book, that some powerful things in that that we could study. But it says there, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." Think about this. Here's a definition that I've seen. Eternal life is the fruit of mercy. Amen. That's good. Think about the mercy seat, right? The mercy seat was on top of the ark. It's forgiveness. That's where the blood was applied. Jesus' blood covered all sin. Amen. Amen. In Numbers 14 and 18, it says this, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." That verse there would help us to be encouraged to be careful what we do, because our sin can be passed down. You see that so many times when you read through the scripture, when we slow down and we begin to pay attention. Oftentimes we want to run through the scripture. We want to be able to say, "Well, I read 10 chapters today." Listen, if I read 2 chapters a day, I'm going to struggle to tell you what I read. So I have to slow down and really pay attention. I got to read it 2 or 3 times so I can comprehend it. My mind goes these directions and doesn't pay attention most of the time. And I try my best to keep it drawn in, but we need to pay attention to what's going on there. Let's continue on. It says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." This is a testimony that Paul is giving to Timothy about this man. He's encouraging him. This is a man that can help you. This is what Onesiphorus has done for me. He's oft refreshed me. Refreshing can be invigorated. It can be revived. It can be cheered. Think about exhorting. Yesterday, as I was up with the men, I heard one of them say this. They made this statement. They said, when you share the gospel with someone and they get saved, it revives you. It refreshes you, is what they said. You know, I'm sitting here listening because that's just what I do. If I'm ever asked to be prepared, I normally pay attention, but most of the time I pay more closer attention when I'm in areas and people's talking about things. And sometimes people just say stuff and it clicks for me and I'm able to, you know, share it. Turn on this word refresh. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 16. I hit this week. Oh my goodness, this thing punched me in the head. This was good here. That invigorated is strengthened and given energy. So think about that. When we get refreshed, we're out in the hot sun, we're beat down, and man, we get that nice cold water. Hope I'm not making nobody thirsty, but we drink that cold water. We say that's refreshing. I like mine about room temperature because I can drink it a little bit better. But I'll take it cold either way. I'm not going to be picky about it. But let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's start. Oh, mercy. Let's just start there in verse 13. Paul is writing back to the Corinthians, and this is he's trying to encourage them. He gets to this point here where he's going to call some more people out. It seems like at the end of his epistles, he always gives you people. And these are good people that we need to pay attention to. It says, verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren. He's begging you, brethren. I want you to watch this. Ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Think about that. The testimony that this family has is they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have taken their life and they sold out, and that's all they're going to do. They go out and they want to encourage and help and strengthen. Look what else he says. He says that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Look at this. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. When you end up meeting people that are like this, we need to acknowledge them. Recognize that. Find out when you have them people that are good about refreshing others, you might want to get up close to them. Find out, where do they get it from? Man, we all struggle. We all struggle from day to day. This flesh, as the preacher's been going through the book of Romans, we know that there is a war in our members, constant battle in our members. Brother Mike was talking about that in the book of James. It's a war. Wars come from within. It's in our members. What do we have to do? We've got to kill the flesh. How do we kill the flesh? Through the Word of God, studying the Word of God. How could a man like this, I just believe that Onesiphorus, when he got saved, he sold out. Paul was a great testimony to him. Think about that. We're going to see what he does here a little bit later. But it says that he was not ashamed of my chain. How many of us, now unfortunately, my past, I have a lot of friends that's been in chains before, okay? Praise the Lord, I've been protected, that I've been in areas that I could have been in chains too, all right? So I don't look down upon them. When I was at the city, I worked with them, and we were told this: they're criminals. Treat them that way. I have a hard time with that. You know why? Because I see myself there. That could have been me. Last week, me and Brother Bradley went out. I went with him. The first door that we made contact with this young man, I stood there and looked at that man, and I seen myself. And I watched him as he paid about half attention. And I just thought, wow, I can see myself there. See, oftentimes when we get saved, we get to a point where we forget where we came from. We get puffed up, you know, I ain't there no more. I don't have that problem. And we can forget the compassion we need to have on those. I was looking at him. I was observing him. I wasn't judging him. He had some tattoos on him. I look at that. I try and make a connection through that, right? Well, I noticed on this arm, he had Psalm 27 tattooed on his arm, right? Sometimes you can use that as an open door to get to him because they have the scripture and you can share it with them. You know, instead of us going there to judge him because he's got them tattoos on us. But, you know, the lost and dying world, they're not ashamed of what they're doing. We were just in the book of Proverbs last night, and we were in chapter 16 in our little devotion at night, and it talked about, oh my goodness, I can't remember exactly how it is, but the pride, and though hand joined in hand. Well, I didn't know this, but supposedly on the alphabet soup family's flag, they have hands joined in hand. I mean, there's a lot of things we don't look at. It may be shaking hands, but think about that. They're proud of their lifestyle. Are we proud of what we got? Are we proud enough to go out and boast it? They wave their flags. It's amazing that the things that they do in this world, this evil world, there's things, if you'll get into the scripture, you'll begin to see this thing pop out, and then you're like, whoa, that was in here. All right? So, not a shame. Well, what does Paul tell us back in the book of Romans, chapter 1? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God. So if we're not ashamed, we'll understand that it's the power of God. If we was to go back right here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll see Paul talking to Timothy here. Verse 8. It says, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Paul is trying to encourage Timothy that, listen, don't let these chains affect the way that you look at me. I know there's some people in here that have been into the jailhouse, and go and preach to them people. And once again, a lot of people look at them like, they're criminals. They belong there. Listen, they need the gospel too. They're in a perfect place. They can't go nowhere. Captive audience. Amen? That's why I feel like if I get locked up, I know a lot of people there, so I don't have to worry about nobody taking my food. I got a captive audience. And if we have a good testimony with those, I'm not saying I want to go there. I'm not trying to do anything to go there. Don't think of it that way, all right? Being in the Army was close enough to being in jail, all right? I got paid for it, but you still got told what to do, what not to do, when to do it, how to do it, how fast to do it, and which way you're going to do it, okay? And obeying. But let's continue on there. Verse 9, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath given life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul had boldness and faith. He was encouraging Timothy to have this same boldness and this same faith. We need to do the same thing with our testimony as we go out. We face trials. We're all going to face them. We've all been through them. We're going to face more. I just tell you, in the past year, it seems like I've been in a valley. It's like I'm just trudging along in this valley, right? Many people may look at you and they say, "Well, you don't look like it." Yeah, it's been a tough time, but it's helped me to get strengthened because I've went to the Word. That's the only thing that's given me strength is this Word. Nothing else. No counsel from a human being could have gave me the strength that I got from this Word. Because as I began to read this Word and began to look at everything going on, I began to see these episodes in the Scripture. It's like, wow. Wow. And that just strengthens you. It should strengthen you as you go through things. And you run to the Word and you pray and you see your prayers answered. That's not by happenstance. It's just not a fluke accident. That's God Almighty working in our lives. But so many times we're so carnally minded. We let so much of the world get in. We don't put enough of this Word in us. So we can't even see things. We don't even see when people's doing things and we're like, whoa. I know Pastor Carter shared with you about a video of the Commonwealth Games of, I think it was 2022, and the show that they put on. I don't know if you ever went back and watched it. Look it up. They call this big bull that they bring in, they call it a beast. And they try and tame the beast. You know who's trying to tame the beast? A bunch of women. In case you don't know it, it's a rise of the feminine. Okay, that's what's going on. There's nothing wrong with women. I'm married to one and I love her. Okay? But there's a rise in it. Think about back in the older days, women weren't in charge. Men were in charge. But now women are coming to be in charge. All right? So, they flaunt this in our face. If you know the book of Revelation, the lady gets on the beast and rides the beast. They put this stuff out there. And you know what? We don't have a clue what's going on. We'd be like, man, that's an awesome production. But we don't look and say, oh my goodness, they don't even know where they got that from. Amen? That's why we need to study this Word. Let me continue on. He was not ashamed of his chains. He wasn't ashamed of the bondage that he was in. In Matthew 10, it talks about receiving a prophet. Okay? You receive a prophet and you'll be received. Just kind of paraphrasing that. If you wanted to go there, Matthew 10 and 41, if you'd read that, 41 and 42, and you'll see here where Paul is trying to encourage Timothy, listen, this man received me, so now receive him. It says, but, notice this here, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out. Now remember, Onesiphorus is from Ephesus. I don't know how many of us is good in geography. I made it through, but I got a map that I look at now. All right? It's a long stretch across there. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have American Airlines. They didn't have Spirit, because I know we like to fly on Spirit because it's a little bit cheaper. Smaller plane. Think about this. They didn't have none of this stuff that we have now. We get so caught up in our now and today time frame that we put our today in the Bible, and it wasn't that way. Look what it says. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently. And what does it say? And found me. So he was coming to encourage Paul. That's what he was coming to do. He wasn't ashamed of Paul. He was coming to help Paul out. We see here that Paul, I got here, it says, oh, how important Paul was in his life. Right? I talked a little bit about this last night at the house. If we was in a car accident and we was to crash into a pond of water, somebody dives in there, busts the glass, and drags us out, you know what we would do forever? We would always say, that's the man that saved me right there. I crashed in this pond, and he dove in the water. He breaks the glass. He pulls me out. We would hug him. We would praise him. We would love him. Right? That man's that important. You know who else should be important? That important to you? The person that showed you how to get to the Lord. Amen? It should be that important. You should not idolize him. You don't want to put him up on a pedestal, but we need to recognize him. Pastor Carter has stood here for 50 years. Faithfully. We talked a little bit about this. He's stood the test of time, of all the waverings, of all the complainings, of all the doubtings. I spent a lot of time with him myself, and I get to hear some of these stories of some of the things that he tried to do, and some of the very people would say, you can't do that. What did he do? He just went on and did it. And you know what happened? Those doubters ended up jumping on board with him. Listen, when the pastor's given a vision, he just don't draw this thing up at night on a sketch board. All right? He's been in the Word of God. He's been praying. The Lord is leading him in a direction. All right? We need to follow him. We need to encourage him. We need to refresh our pastor. We need to oft refresh our teachers. They need encouraging. Now, I'm not saying that so you pat me on the back. That's not what I'm saying. But those that have stood the test of time, those that have been here faithful, Sunday after Sunday after Wednesday, we expect them to be here. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but there's those on Radio Land, maybe watching it on YouTube. We expect them to be faithful and true. They better be here. They better be dressed right. Right? So, what happens if Brother Parsons just decides not to show up? We're going to be mad. Right? What is he doing missing church? The same standard should be held for me. I should hold the same standard for myself. Courtesy enough to send a message and say, hey, let somebody know that I'm not feeling good. All right, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be able to make it. It's an encouragement when a pastor gets in the pulpit and he sees his people. Amen. No, I hadn't been a pastor, but where I was at, I filled in many times for my pastor when he was out. And it's an encouragement when you look out there and you see the faithful members, but it's an encouragement when you see those that have strayed away, those that hadn't been there in a while. Those are the ones that we need to love on, we need to hug on. Paul is in a dark place. How would you feel? There's sometimes we feel like we're in a dungeon. Sometimes we feel like we're locked up in bondage. It may not be sin, but it may be just anything that has gotten a hold of us. Maybe you've lost a loved one. And that bondage that you're in is depression. You know what you and me would want? We would want someone like Onesiphorus to come from a long distance away, to search out diligently me and you, those that are hurting, to refresh us, to not be ashamed of where you're at. Because at any moment in time, that bondage, I could be put in the bondage. We need to think about that. It says, do we seek out important people in our life? Do we seek out those that are struggling? When we know that they're struggling, do we seek them out? Verse 18, it says, the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. If we were here for the workers' meeting, you'll remember the passage in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, where God is not unfaithful to forget our work, and that we've ministered and that we are ministering still. And that's what we're doing here. There's many ministries going on, and there's still room for all of us to get part of it. We can all join in. Not everybody can go. We got some men up there, whenever we go out soul winning, they can't go out like they used to. They got a place set aside for them, and they go in there and they pray while the men are out soul winning, while the women are out soul winning. We could do that same thing. Do we set aside that time? Do we think about on Sunday morning before we come to church, them buses are running? Lord, place a hedge of protection around them buses. I mean, they're not brand new. All right, so they do break down occasionally. Old devil will get in them. But do we pray for the drivers? Do we pray for the workers? Do we pray for the kids that are going to be on there? Amen. I just got one little statement I'm going to make, and then I'll be done. Thinking about Paul, we can apply it to our own life. I don't remember where I heard this statement made, but it's pretty powerful, and we should take it and apply it to our life. It says, many may hate me because of Jesus Christ. When you get saved, the battle begins. But I wrote here, but Lord, help us not to cause people to hate Jesus because of me. When we go out on visitation, we go to that door. Listen, if they don't want to hear it, all we can do is pray for them. Got the door slammed in our face yesterday. You know, I can't make them take it. I can't cram it down their throat. But we didn't get even an opportunity. But I watched him as we were talking to another young man. I watched him as he came out. He kept watching us. I believe that young man really wanted to know what we had. But he was trying to be cool for his friends and his family in the house. Listen, let's think about that Onesiphorus. Maybe that name will never leave you. Onesiphorus. And how he oft refreshed. He was not ashamed of Paul's change. And he sought him out diligently. Amen. Thank you, brother. 791 for the day. We have a little break. Continue the services here shortly. Amen.